I've chosen the podcast A Design Approach to Disaster Risk Reduction by Saskia van Manen because this enthusiastic young scientist, a volcanologist, has crossed a disciplinary border, I would even say a chasm, to embrace design as a tool to solve issues of people and natural hazards. Scientists and social scientists can use all the help they can to predict the effects of tornadoes, tsunamis, typhoons, earthquakes, and other natural hazards, so why not get the designers involved? I really look forward to watching Saskia as her career develops. This is Susan Erickson. I'm a geologist and I'm at the American Geophysical Union. Yesterday we just had a session on art and geoscience. With me today is Saskia van Manen, who's a research fellow at the Open University in England. Last year Saskia gave a talk on her master's research, and I wanted to bring that today to creative disturbance because it brings a really different perspective on natural hazards. The typhoons, the volcanic eruptions, the tsunami that I deal with as a geologist, and turns out Saskia has a PhD in volcanology, but she's looking at disaster risk management from the perspective of a designer. So Saskia, could you tell us more about what you're doing in your position and something about the project?
As a research fellow, really what I am trying to do at the moment is straddle and cross the boundaries between qualitative and quantitative research and take a design approach in doing so. So I'm really trying to, my focus area is volcanoes, and I've been specifically working at Turrialba Volcano in Costa Rica. And what I'm trying to do there is not only quantify the hazard, as we do in volcanology, but really understand this from a qualitative point of view as well. So see how communities perceive this hazard and how we can best get them prepared to deal with the potential of explosions and other natural hazards in the region.
Well, my first question would come up is why design? I mean, a lot of sociologists, psychologists, education people in all sorts of social sciences are working with disaster risk reduction, but why design?
I think design can bring very open-minded, creative, and different approaches. It's really, design thinking allows you to open up your brain and open up your point of view and expand the possibilities for solutions. I think science is very much focused on answering problems. Design is very much focused on finding solutions. And I think if you're looking in these applied situations where you're really trying to up the levels of disaster preparedness, you have to search for solutions.
Well, before we go farther, one thing we need to qualify is what is a disaster? I learned when working in Singapore, a disaster is not the same thing as a tsunami, even though those disasters, you know, occur. So you want to explain how you think about those two things?
Definitely. For me, a natural hazard is a natural phenomena. It's something that will happen that we can't stop. These are things like earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, volcanic eruptions. These natural phenomena become disasters when they interact with our human infrastructures and our human societies and cause loss of life, loss of ecosystem functions, and loss of property.
And as the world has developed, we get more disasters from natural hazards because there's more people, more infrastructure.
Indeed. And we have more and more people that do live in these areas that are sensitive to disasters. And
so tell us about the origin of this project, and you said you worked with communities in Costa Rica, and so how did that develop into your master's and on?
Well, back in 2012, as part of my research for my current fellowship, I did semi-structured interviews with these communities in Costa Rica because what I wanted to do at the time was really document their hazard perception and their risk perception and see how they thought about this volcano and whether or not they felt prepared. And really two main conclusions came out of that research, and that was that communities were not prepared to deal with potential volcanic explosions or other natural hazards in the region. And communities felt that the information that was out there is not very accessible or understandable. And so my master's research, what I decided to do in that is that I really wanted to look at that problem and say, well, how can we make this information more accessible? And by doing that, increase the levels of disaster preparedness. So that was really the main question I was trying to tackle. And I decided to tackle that from a design approach to really be able to open up my mind and look at a wide range of potential solutions.
Well, I hope that the people who work in disaster risk management will listen to this. So tell us, talk more about the design part of it. What does it mean to take a design approach?
To me, it meant drawing on design methodologies and rather than being problem-focused, being solution-focused. And what I did in response to my original findings is that I organized, together with my Costa Rican collaborators, we organized these participatory workshops. So we didn't just want to bring our own perspective to it. We actually wanted the community's perspective. So each of these workshops, we started... they were held in these villages on the volcano, and what we did is that they were advertised by putting flyers in local shops, in local schools, on local notice boards just a couple days beforehand. And we also had some advertisement by word of mouth from the National Park Service who got involved with this, and they have very close connections with some of these villages. So people would show up to the school or the community center where we held these, and we'd give them a quick questionnaire just to get a basic idea of how prepared do they feel, what do they think it means, and what's their background, just so that we could get an idea of who was participating in these. Now, we had a total of 101 participants over 5 workshops, which was great, and they ranged just from illiterate farm assistants to, we had the mayor of Turrialba town attend, we had members of the Red Cross attend, we had a lawyer. So there's a very wide spectrum of participants there. And then we got them to brainstorm. So we literally gave them post-its and pens and said, what do you think about when you hear the term disaster preparedness? Write one word per post-it, and then we want you guys to stick it on the wall and organize it into categories as you see fit. So as the facilitators, we completely step back. We completely handed over control to these villages. And what you get out of that is a basic understanding of what they think disaster preparedness encompasses, but also some of their responses. In fact, the majority of their responses showed where their priorities lie. A lot of people wrote the word family or love or animals. And that's so powerful because that's where their concern is. That's their priority. And by knowing that, we can act on that. And then after we did that, we actually provided them the 3 steps that are globally recommended for disaster preparedness, which is be informed, keep a disaster preparedness kit, and have your evacuation plans in place. And then we said, well, brainstorm that again. And think about how you would motivate people to do that, or what would make you more likely to engage with this and actually do it. And then in groups, they would come up with ideas, and we made them select one idea per group, and they got to choose all of that by themselves. And then we said, well, develop that further. How would you implement that? What would you do exactly? What kind of time frame? Where? So we really wanted to look at these things in a bit more detail and make it feasible, make them really think that through. And then each group would present to everybody present, and after that, everybody got to vote on the ideas. So the value in that for us as facilitators and scientists and designers is that you get an idea of what people want, how they feel that things could be improved, and we really looked at that, the communication aspect in this as well.
So what is that called in design methodology?
It's participatory...
Needs assessment?
Design research, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's participatory design because you're really getting people to collaboratively look at solutions.
Mm-hmm. And then what happened? From the design point of view, your methodology?
Yeah, from the design point of view, we then had a whole bunch of ideas that the community had come up with. And what was also interesting about that is that some of the ideas they'd come up with were existing initiatives as far as outreach is concerned. So that shows a little bit of redundancy in that because they're not acting on those initiatives. But based on their ideas and their priorities, I started combining that with known findings from the literature. Look at, well, how could we design for this? How could we act on that? So that was the second part of my master's degree. And really what came out of that was, well, the information is out there, but perhaps it's not in the right place. It's on websites, people get pamphlets. But if you get a pamphlet that tells you you have to have a certain amount of water, you have to have canned food, you have to have batteries, etc., that's at home. That's not where you can purchase these things. So what if we change where this information is provided? What if we put it on the bottled water or in the store? And that is a small shift. It's not huge, but it's a difference. So that's something that I would really love to pilot over the next year and see whether that makes a difference or not. And also what we found is that people these communities are quite close-knit, and families are very important in Costa Rica. And people are more likely to accept information from each other than from top-down government organizations. So the other idea was, well, what if we get people who have gone through natural disasters in Costa Rica to share their experiences? Could be because there are people out there who experienced volcanic eruptions, who've experienced earthquakes. And what if we get them just on postcards or something to say, well, this is what happened to me, this is what I experienced, and this is what I would have liked to have known before. Or maybe, right, I would have liked to have had water because I was thirsty. Even something as simple as that, because it's coming from a different source. And it's a real experience. It's not a theoretical idea that then gets shared. Perhaps that could increase disaster preparedness. So these are really, they're very small changes and they're very small steps. But just by changing the way that this information is presented and where it's presented and how it's presented, I think that could make a noticeable difference to whether or not people prepare.
So I'm still intrigued with the design. What's different about the design approach than, say, a sociologist would have taken? What is it about the design? Because you worked in, what was your department? You worked with designers?
Yes.
In architecture?
No, it was a design department.
Design department. So what did they think and how did they relate to your project? Could they see the design aspects of it?
Definitely, because design is so much more than just the glossy things level on the surface.
It's not just graphic design. Nice, it is shape.
No, it's not just a nice shape. It's not just pretty things that we can put in our houses. It is how things function. And actually, good design is design that you don't notice because it functions well.
That's really what I want to hear is that, right, you go through a process that's different, very participatory, and checking. I'm making up my own words here, but I think that's a really good point, is that it's something that functions and you don't see it.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of the things that I've heard about and been involved in is that you might get that early on participation, but then you go home and you figure it out and then bring it back and say, here's a solution.
Yeah. So the idea with this also would be that if we do look at piloting and trying some of these ideas, that we do that in collaboration with the community. So we have these ideas now, but the idea is to take them back. And I'm hopefully traveling out there again in the spring of 2015, taking some of these ideas back, saying, well, what do you think? How do you want to see this?
So how will this experience, this project, affect your future work?
I think it has opened up my mind to such an endless world of possibilities. And it's also brought to the forefront so many questions in so many areas where a design approach could really make a difference. And there's so many possibilities in this. It's transformed me as a scientist and a researcher. It's transformed my approach, and it's transformed my view on the world.